24 hours after AT&T's mega purchase of Time Warner received the green light from the courts, there's another blockbuster media deal already in the works. Comcast Wednesday officially put a $65 billion offer on the table for parts of the 21st Century Fox media empire that are up for sale. The all-cash offer tops the $52 billion all-stock proposal already made by Walt Disney.
Ice in Antarctica is melting faster than expected, resulting in rising sea levels that could leave the world's coasts and low-lying areas more vulnerable to flooding with less time to prepare. A study published Thursday in the journal Nature said 219 billion tons of ice has been melting every year since 2012, up from 76 billion.
Amazon Go, the small checkout free store at the company's Seattle headquarters, opened to the public in January and has retailers concerned that technology could be an industry disruptor. Microsoft is working on its own checkout-free technology that it could sell to retailers. Microsoft already has ties with the retail industry, with many chains buying and relying on Microsoft's cloud computing power service, Azure.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Friday. It's June 15th, 5:11 in the morning. We are glad you're here with us for another edition of The Opening Bell and another business day and TGIF, by the way. Lots going on in the program today. Paul Nolte is here for our regular Friday conversation. We'll bring in Paul momentarily. Some economic data out this week. We saw the Federal Reserve raise interest rates. We'll talk all about that with Paul. And a little bit later in the program, Brian Summers will be here from Skift.com. Southwest Airlines has started poaching loyalty customers from some of the other airlines. And we'll talk with Brian at about 5:40 this morning here on The Opening Bell. But right now on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, futures on the Dow are off 150 points this morning, good for about a half a percent or more. NASDAQ and S&P futures are lower as well. Around the rest of the globe, markets are mixed in Europe, with the FTSE lower by almost three-quarters, the CAC in France the only higher there. In Asia this morning, markets generally mixed as well. The Nikkei is going to end the day up about a half a percent, 113 points. Everything else is pretty much lower. The Hang Seng is off almost a half a percent. The Shanghai is down nearly three-quarters. Oil is trading at $66.69 a barrel, down about 20 cents. A couple of headlines before we bring in Paul this morning. China says it will retaliate against any move by the U.S. to impose any more tariffs on tens of billions of dollars of Chinese goods. The foreign ministry spokesman there this morning says that China's response would be immediate and that Beijing would take necessary measures to defend their legitimate rights and interests. The foreign minister gave no details but says the government is formulating a response to U.S. tariffs that could include more than $50 billion of tariffs on stuff like beef, soybeans, and other items. A proposal in Congress to ease the U.S. ban on marijuana could encourage more banks to do business with cannabis companies, but it appears to fall short of a comprehensive fix for an industry often forced to conduct business in cash in a credit card world. Pot is legal in some form in 30 states, but companies grow or sell it are often locked out of banks because the drug is illegal under federal law. And this morning, McDonald's says it will switch to paper straws at all of its locations in the United Kingdom, Ireland, and will test an alternative to plastic here in the United States at restaurants later this year. Burger chain and other fast food companies have been facing increasing pressure from customers and environmental activists to stop using plastic straws because they can end up in the ocean and harm sea turtles, birds, and other marine life. Paper straws, unlike plastic ones, disintegrate, apparently, in the environment. Let's bring in Paul Nolte this morning for our regular Friday conversation. Paul is an SVP and Senior Portfolio Manager over at Kingsview Asset Management. Paul, good morning. Happy Friday. Well, we can't hear Paul there, so there's a dial tone. Let's see if we can reconnect with Paul, and we'll be back in a minute.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. I think we've tied two strings together with a can, two cans with a string here. Paul Nolte is with us. Paul, I think we can hear you now. Good morning.
Good morning. I hope so.
Yeah, we've got you on a speakerphone here, so we've got to work around, and I think we can hear you all right. We wanted to ask you about what you thought was the big economic story this week.
In my mind, the big economic story really is tied to the Fed and ECB, the Fed raising rates, not unexpected. One of the differences, though, is that they're talking now about having every meeting having a news conference after that meeting, which means that each meeting is quote-unquote live, which means the Fed could raise rates at any meeting that they wanted to. Up to this point, it was generally considered acceptable that the Fed would only raise rates when they had a press conference. So that has changed. The ECB continues to discuss about thinking about potentially maybe reducing the amount of bond purchases that they may make in the future. And that is an ongoing issue. So there's a huge difference in getting to be a much wider difference between the ECB and their quantitative easing. They're still in that quantitative easing mode, and the Fed, which has moved now to a definite rate hike cycle. And that has impacted the dollar. The dollar has gotten very strong here against all currencies, and that has had an impact on our trade. So, you know, those are all the knock-on effects, I think, that what we're seeing from just some of the events of this week.
On the Federal Reserve issue, in addition to it being sort of a live meeting, this news conference every time, the positives of that from a journalism standpoint is we get to ask the Federal Reserve Chair some questions, but the negative of that is he could say something that could negatively affect the markets when that would have not normally happened, right?
No, it's absolutely true. So, you know, you're getting the Fed's, you're getting really the chairman's take on the markets. And certainly he carries a lot of weight relative to the other Fed governors. But as we noticed in various meeting minutes, the Fed governors all have an equal vote. So it is a consensus group. So you may get comments from the Fed chair, now Jay Powell or whoever in the future, that could be a little different than what the governors are all believing and the direction that they would like to take interest rates.
This morning, as mentioned there at the top of the program, trade is back front and center. China now considering more tariffs on the U.S. I know I've asked you this question every week, but at what point does it become a trade war?
It's in a skirmish phase. We're suffering from death by a thousand cuts. And that's really kind of where we're at. It's a little bit of we're going to throw something out there. It's not huge in the context of the amount of trade that we're doing, but it is certainly impacting markets, and that would be a great question for Orion, because we are seeing it in the grain markets, we're seeing it in the soybean market, we're seeing it in the steel commodity market. What's interesting, though, is we're not yet seeing it in import prices. We thought we would see it with this report. We're not. Import prices actually are down a little bit, and that is an impact of the higher dollar. The dollar has been on an incredible run since the middle of April through today. The dollar is significantly higher, and that makes for U.S. consumers, even with tariffs, foreign goods cheap. So the dollar could work actually against what Trump is trying to accomplish here, because it makes our goods that we're trying to export that much more expensive and makes it more difficult for us to export to the world.
I saw something yesterday. Gary Cohn, the former White House advisor, economic advisor to the White House, was being interviewed. He said that this trade situation has the potential to wipe out every positive effect of the tax cut law. Is that going a little too far, or is he on the money on that?
Right now it might be too far, but again, we're just now at the front end of starting to see the impacts of the tariffs. So it is very possible that it could wipe out a lot of those impacts. The inflation numbers that we got this week, the CPI and PPI numbers, if you compare that to the wage growth that we've seen, wage growth is now, after inflation, essentially zero. So the your average worker is no longer seeing the benefits of the pay raises that they've been getting. It's been eaten up by inflation, and the potential exists for the tariffs, the higher prices that we may see from foreign goods could have an additional pile-on effect there and be detrimental to the American consumer.
Paul Paul, hang on for a second. We're going to take a quick break to check traffic. Paul Nolte is with us this morning at Kingsview Asset Management. Our regular Friday conversation with Paul will continue. But first, here at 522, let's update traffic this morning. And in WGN Traffic Central, here's Joanne Jeanette.
And this traffic update is sponsored by Credit Karma. So far, the roads, they're looking good. No accidents to report. The Edens, 15 either way, Lake Hook and the Junction. The Kennedy looks 20 minutes to and from O'Hare in downtown. On the Eisenhower, 30 in from Thorndale. Outbound Ike, no delays. Stevenson, 25 minutes, 355 to Lakeshore Drive. The Dan Ryan, 14 minutes either way between 95th and downtown on I-57, the Bishop Ford, and Lakeshore Drive, all doing well. Get your truly free credit score and free credit monitoring from Credit Karma. Download the Credit Karma app today. Get Karma. Get Credit Karma. Get knowing. For personalized traffic on demand, get the Traffic Chicago app, approved by the mortgage experts of Team Hochberg. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago. I'm Joanne Jeanette, in for Mary Vandeveld, WGN Traffic Central.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, a couple of stocks of local interest this morning. AAR Corporation off yesterday about 1.5% at $47.95 a share. And also CME Group off almost 1% at $168.86. Chicago is hosting the ultimate month-long food festival this August. Visit ctfoodbowl.com to get your seat at the table. We're back on the opening bell now at 5:24. Paul Nolte is with us via telephone, speakerphone this morning, Paul. Bond market, give us a sense of how the bond market is reacting to the economic news of the week.
Yeah, it's interesting. The bond market certainly had the knee-jerk reaction to the higher interest rates by the Fed, which is typical. We almost touched 3% on a 10-year yield. They backed off here a little bit as the inflation numbers came in, pretty much in line, maybe a little bit below expectation. But one of the characteristics that we've been keeping a close eye on is the difference between the yields of, say, a 1 or a 2 year bond and a 10 year bond. What they call the yield spread or the yield curve is flattening. So the difference between those twos and tens are getting narrower and narrower, which historically has meant we're starting to face the possibility of a recession at some point in the future. A lot of the models that we run don't indicate that we are going to see a recession over the next 9 to 12 months, but that risk starts to rise the later we get into 2019 and maybe early 2020. And the equity markets will start to sniff that out, we think, maybe later this year, and it will be much tougher, I think, for the equity markets if we do start to see much more of a recession probability pick up in the markets.
What would your advice be on portfolios? Where we stand, where things might be headed, what we should be doing?
You know, it's interesting. One of the things that we've kind of discounted here a little bit has been technology. Technology has been a huge driver for the markets for the last 2 years. We thought they might be taking a back seat to the industrial side, energy, etc. And technology has continued its run, and they have a huge international exposure, a large export market for them. The dollar has not really impacted them at all. So it still has been what it's been over the last 2 or 3 years. It's been very much a U.S.-centric market. We were international for a while. We've had to pull back on that as international has suffered here by the stronger dollar. So we're back to a very U.S.-centric type of portfolio. We still do like the bond market. The yields have been pretty good, but we've been keeping our overall maturity level relatively short here as bonds, you know, as the equity markets go down, bonds do pick up a little bit. So we're never 100% in the market, 100% out. But we do like the bonds to provide us a little bit of a cushion for the equity markets.
All right. Paul, I understand you've just ridden about 1,000 miles on a bicycle.
Not quite. About 240, and it's actually nice to be sitting in an office chair today as opposed to a bike saddle.
Well, we're glad you survived. You're going to have to tell us some more stories and bring some slides the next time you're here for another multimedia presentation.
Absolutely. We'll do that.
All right, Paul. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Paul Nolte from Kingsview Asset Management in Chicago is with us every Friday. You can find more about Paul and his colleagues at kingsview.com.
Hi, this is Jim Dahlke with today's In a Minute on WGN Radio, a rundown of all the Chicago innovation and tech news you need to know, delivered by ChicagoInno.com. Elon Musk was in Chicago yesterday to outline plans to bring a high-speed transit system to Chicago that would transport passengers from the Loop to O'Hare Airport in just 12 minutes. The transit system, which the mayor called the X, will be funded by Musk's underground tunneling company. Construction could begin in as early as 3 months. Alcom Health announced it's hired Matt McNally as its next CEO. McNally was previously an executive at advertising company Publicis. The hire comes as Alcom looks to rebound from a fraud scandal that caused its CEO and president to step down from their day-to-day roles. And the Chicago Department of Transportation is partnering with Arity, a tech spin out of Allstate that collects billions of miles of sensor data from smartphones and vehicles. The partnership will allow Chicago to collect accident data to identify crash-prone locations throughout the city and help eliminate deadly car crashes. That's today's Inno Minute from WGN Radio. Learn more at ChicagoInno.com and sign up for The Beat, our daily email newsletter.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here with us on our Friday edition of The Opening Bell. It is our regular Friday conversation with Brian Summers, who's airline business reporter for Skift.com. Conversation this morning that'll focus on a couple of areas, but Brian is with us via Skype from Los Angeles this morning. Brian, let's begin with a story about Southwest Airlines looking to perhaps poach customers from other loyalty programs.
Yeah, you know, Southwest has always wanted to attract business customers, but as it's grown, it's really taken that very seriously. And one of the things that Southwest is doing now is in some markets that are important to the airline. And right now, as far as I understand, that's not Chicago. It's more like Washington, Atlanta, San Diego, also other places in California. Southwest is saying if you're a frequent flyer on United, American, or Delta, and you can prove it, we will give you free frequent flyer status for a short period. And so people will get to be A-list on Southwest without actually flying Southwest. The idea being if Southwest can give them A-list for maybe 3 months and give them perks like priority boarding, check-in, security lane access, and free same-day standby, those customers who are now flying United, American, and Delta will say, hey, you know, Southwest isn't very bad, and they have some flights I'd like to take, and maybe I'm going to switch from United, Delta, American to Southwest. You have to remember that basically every airline all the time is trying to steal the other's customers. Southwest has done that a little bit less because they've always been a leisure-focused airline for the most part. But I guess they're getting into this game now.
Well, a couple of things. Is Southwest hurting for these flyers, or is there some sort of economic reason they're doing this?
You know, it's interesting. I had this conversation with somebody at Southwest earlier this week. Southwest is actually known on the West Coast as being a business airline. They fly a lot of frequency every day along the West Coast from places like Los Angeles and even Burbank near Los Angeles, San Francisco, Oakland, those places. It's one of the best ways to get from Los Angeles, where I live, to Sacramento, which is the state capital. On the East Coast and even in Chicago, they're known a little bit more as a leisure airline. And of course, we all know that business travelers tend to pay top dollar. They buy at the last minute. They have to take exactly the flight they want to take. And it's no surprise that Southwest is saying, look, in places like Washington, D.C. and Atlanta, we would like to up the number of business travelers we carry because there's more money in it for the airline that way.
Well, as the expert in this, how would you compare the loyalty programs among these airlines that are competing in it?
Well, you know, it's sort of interesting. A lot of people are loyal to American, Delta, and United for the frequent flyer miles. Southwest has a pretty good program. You get points on Southwest, and people like that. But you have to also remember that a lot of people on Delta, American, and United fly those airlines because they're obsessed with first-class upgrades. So you fly 100,000 miles on American, you become the executive platinum level, and you get fewer upgrades than you used to, but a lot of the time they're going to put you in first class for free. Frequent flyers, including me, love this. We love the game. I think everybody knows that Southwest doesn't have a first class. And so no matter how much you fly on them, you're still going to be in the same seat as everybody else. Now, if you are in this A-list program, they do let you board first, so that's good. Maybe you can get an exit row. Maybe you can get the first seat on the plane. But again, no first class. And for that reason alone, there's just going to be business travelers always that are never going to fly them.
Brian, another story you've written about is about South African Airways and whether or not it's going to go bankrupt or not.
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting question, right? Because South African Airways, people probably aren't thinking about it, and you asked if it's going to go bankrupt. The thing about South African is it's one of these airlines. There used to be more of them. It's 100% government-owned. So almost by definition, right, it can't go bankrupt. What it can do is go on and on and on and lose lots of money, and people in South Africa are a little bit upset that they're using taxpayer money to fund the airline. Now, the question is, if you're in a country like South Africa, and this flag carrier, we call it, the national airline, has been around for decades and decades, do you still need it? And I think the answer is probably yes. Some people have called South African the embassy with wings, right? You know, there's some soft power that you have with an airline, and there just seems to be no appetite in South Africa to let this airline fail, almost because it would be a natural disaster. It's very interesting. Of course, you know, our airlines in the United States, they make a lot of money. They're publicly traded companies. They allow the market to take care of things. It's just not the case in South Africa.
But here's where the question arises: is how long will they allow it to lose money?
That's a good question. They've had somebody told me they had like they've had 10 turnaround efforts in the past 20 years or so. The problem is, like, a lot of these turnaround efforts, they rely on things like cost cutting and staff cutting. And it's almost like the DMV in the United States. Like, it's, you can't just go around and cut government employees, even if they're redundant. So that's part of the problem. It's very hard to get any government department to be more lean and mean, and that's an issue they're having in South Africa now.
Yeah, this story almost I thought immediately of the U.S. Postal Service when I read this story. It's sort of like that situation almost.
It's just like that. And one of the examples that I give is South African flies from Johannesburg to Hong Kong. They do it because it's their only flight to Asia, but it loses money. So the question that somebody has to come up with is, how important is it for a country to have one nonstop flight to Hong Kong? Is it worth spending taxpayer money to subsidize that flight? So far, the answer is yes. We'll see what happens going forward.
The other story you've written is kind of fun, a fun story. It's about tomato juice on United Airlines, gone and now back.
Yeah, it is. Frequent flyers and other folks may remember that starting on May 1st, United Airlines took tomato juice off of its flights. And folks were very unhappy about this. There's two things about tomato juice that people should know. One is, it really is supposed to taste better at altitude. I think it's the salt and the flavors. The other thing is that there's this idea that people tend to ask for it more because it tastes better. Now, I interviewed a senior United executive earlier this week. And she said, look, again, there's no doubt that it tastes better at altitude. The thing was, nobody was asking for it on the flights. She said, you know, we count the cans going on the airplane. We count the cans going off the airplane. And we've noticed, you know, people don't want it. They say they want it, but they don't want it. So they thought that they were pretty much in the clear to take it off. The problem was United noticed that people complained really harshly on social media and elsewhere. And I think we all know that United has had some well-publicized incidents of not looking after its customers over the last 2 years. So somebody at United, about 2 weeks after they made this decision, said, you know what, this is stupid. Yeah, the data suggests that people don't actually take tomato juice on the flight, but it's clearly important to people, and it's not worth angering folks. And so tomato juice is making its way back on flights now. United has said it won't be on all flights until July, but the executive that I spoke to said it is on some flights now, and she said, guess what, people still aren't asking for it, but it's there, and it makes people feel good.
Yeah, the people that I think you might be talking about previously were they're extremely vocal, you're right, and good at social media.
Exactly.
Yeah. Brian, always good chatting with you. We'll see you again next week.
Thank you so much, Steve.
Brian Summers is the airline business reporter for Skift.com. Make sure you follow them on Twitter at Skift and Brian, too, at Brian Summers. And sign up for the weekly Skift Airline Innovation Report at Skift.com/airline to get all of Brian's stories via your email inbox through the week.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, Dow futures are pointing toward opening losses at the bell later this morning. Down 150 on the Dow, 17, almost 18 points on the NASDAQ. S&P futures are lower as well. And we'll keep you posted on the markets as we move through the morning with your money here on 720 WGN. Focus now on agriculture and commodities. Orion Samuelson is with us. Good morning, Orion.
Well, good morning to you. We're back in the Midwest after leaving Arizona yesterday on the warmest day of 2018, 110 degrees. And they're looking forward out there to the monsoon season, hoping it'll bring some higher humidity and cut into the wildfire threat and also get some moisture. They haven't had rain in the Valley, Phoenix, and Scottsdale now for 97 days. But the grain market yesterday, even the livestock market reacting to the ongoing threat of trade tariffs in China. The president yesterday said he's ready to impose some pretty significant tariffs on Chinese goods. And the president due to unveil revisions to his initial tariff list targeting $50 billion of Chinese goods, and he's expected to do that today. And the list will contain 800 product categories. That would be down from the 1,300 previously. But no question that it did have an impact on livestock yesterday, particularly the tariffs on U.S. pork and China threatening to do the same for beef. So that trade situation just isn't going away. And the grain market today, the soybean market, for example, trading down 15 and a quarter cents after relatively large loss yesterday. So it keeps going, and maybe one of these days we'll be able to quit talking about trade tariffs.
Perhaps. I'm curious, with your ear to the ground, how are farmers reacting to this? Or I know a lot of farmers voted for the president. Are they sticking with him on this, or are they concerned?
I'd say maybe 50-50. They realize that these situations have to be dealt with, and if it takes that kind of hardline bargaining, I think some of them feel in the long run we will be better off. But no question, there's a lot of concern because of the export targets that have been set up by Mexico on pork and China on pork. China, of course, as I've said many times, the biggest producer and the biggest consumer of pork. So no question that that is of concern and will continue to be of concern.
I was going to comment on your bringing hot weather back to Illinois with you. This is going to be one of the hottest weekends of the year, I guess. How is that going to impact what farmers have been doing, or the crops already in?
Well, crops are already in, and thankfully we have received pretty good rainfall, pretty good moisture during the early crop year. We're well into it by a month now into the planting and the emerging of the corn and the soybean crop. So I think the heat will probably be a blessing to those crops as long as they've got the moisture in the ground to handle it.
All right. Orion, what is on the morning show tomorrow?
Well, tomorrow we're going to talk to Tim Andreessen. He is the marketing director of agricultural products at the CME Group, which operates the board and the Merck. And they've had some huge gains in numbers on trading so far this year. They, for the first time, I think, crossed 2 million bushels in open interest in corn contracts. Just a lot of trade in the United States and around the world because we're a global market, and that continues to impact. So Tim's going to talk about some of the reasons for that great increase in the trading volume in futures for agriculture, and he'll be with us tomorrow.
All right, we'll be listening. Orion, have a great weekend.
You too.
Orion Samuelson, the morning show tomorrow at 5 o'clock right here on 720 WGN. Now the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for Friday, June 15th. The Federal Reserve will release industrial production for May. We'll also get a report on consumer sentiment, the Treasury International Capital Report due out, and the Empire State Manufacturing Survey. Just some of the things that could move the markets on this Friday, June the 15th.